Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be like white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, God's word reveals both who we are, whose we are, and who we are meant to be. Because when you compare your life to God's word and what it says and where it tells us we are to be going, and you compare your life to that, and you find that, you know what, God says this is the way, walk in it, and I'm walking over here, and I'm doing these things over here. One of the things that is revealing is that I'm not following God, and maybe even that I am not God's. Wiggle your toes, take a deep breath, it's going to be okay. You see, ladies and gentlemen, don't compare yourself to me or the person next to you. Compare yourself to God's word and his son. Make sure you're walking in his ways and his righteousness. Because anything other than that, you're not going home to him. You're just continuing down your path to hell where you've always been heading. But Jesus died for my sins. It's okay. No, it's not. I don't know what happened in the church in America when accountability to God and giving our lives to him and living according to his standard changed to grace covers it all and it's okay to live however I want. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his word has never changed. The same standard by which Adam and Eve were judged by was what we will be judged by. It's just God said, you know what, there's no possible way for you to do this or comprehend this. So I got to make an open door so that we can get you a fresh start. And I got to do something incredible where I take part of myself and place it inside of you so you can do these things. I tell my kids, and I've told them since they were 6 pounds on up, you know? You don't get into heaven because you're my kid. You know what? If you want to be my kid, I can guarantee you where you're going to go. If you're claiming Vince Wilczynski as your possible entrance into heaven, guess which door you will be knocking on? It ain't heaven's. You get to heaven on God's terms and surrendering to them by surrendering to Jesus Christ. I hope and pray my kids will be there. And if I've done my job right and pointed them to Jesus, that's where they get on the board to new life. I just wish all of us took a little more interest in the Word of God to find out which way we're supposed to be going. Psalms 119, 98 through 106 kind of gives us a good idea that this is important, God's Word, and His Holy Spirit is important to us. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. This dude really must love God. I don't know. I have not departed from your laws or for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Amy Grant, 1985. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. What's interesting is this, is what he's saying is, God, your ways are the best. They always make me successful. They keep me out of danger. They keep me away from evil. And everything's awesome. My path is lit before me. So when sin is in the direct coming from me, I can just step on around it. I don't have to walk in sin anymore. It's So we get to engage with God on our trip home by trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we have the Holy Spirit to take up residence and within us to speak and to guide us home through God's word. And we have the map of God's unchanging word, his absolute truth, the Bible, on how we are to get home and how he is going to guide and direct us and aid us on our way. But most people don't read it, don't do it, and don't live it. You want to get home safe? Get with God's program. That's the only hope you've got. It's not the Church of God, and it's not Vince Wilczynski. And I know I'm making some people shift in their seats. They're a little nervous about this. But the question is, are we going to follow the only compass God has given us or not? Are you going to follow the GPS or not? Is the Bible God's word and final authority on how we should live for our lives for him or not? That's a tough question. And most of us answer it with a resounding no every day. If we're going to live with him forever in his neighborhood, his house, and his family, then we better wrap our minds around what that is and what that's supposed to look like. Isaiah 55, 6 through 8 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will freely pardon." There's hope for all of us who have been messing around and getting it wrong for so long. And God reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord." See, ladies and gentlemen, our natural inclination is sin. His natural inclination is holiness and righteousness. And we're supposed to live his way, not ours any longer. I'm going to have to skip a little bit ahead. Oh, I skipped right to that one. Nobody likes this one. I remember preaching this sermon. My landlord, I was a young dumb preacher then. Now I'm just an old dumb one. My landlord had a son who worked at Disney World, and he'd got wrapped up in the homosexual lifestyle, and he had contracted AIDS back in the early 90s, and he died. And I remember the day. God made me forget that and said, "Preach this sermon." Like, okay. And I got up and I preached out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" "Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the male prostitutes, nor the homosexual offenders, nor the thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, or the slanderers, or the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." I talked about who Paul was talking to. He was talking to the Corinthian church, and he was talking to them about what was their normal daily life. Kind of looks like the world we're living in life. That's normal life for them in our world. And I remember preaching that sermon and looking out and seeing Ed and remembering his son that he had just buried like a year and a half before. And he came up to me. I had my head down, and I'm like, it looks like I'm moving, you know. I was ticked off my landlord because I preached a sermon and addressed some of the tough topics of the day and his son and everything else. And he took my hand and he goes, "You're a good pastor. because you're willing to preach the truth. No matter what. He said, preach the truth. No matter what. You see, what God calls sin is sin. It's the stuff that has separated all of us from Him. And it's our choices to choose sin over Him that force Him to reject us. And when we come to know Him, love Him, and serve Him, we should be pushing sin out of our daily lives. It is what Jesus died on the cross so that we can be forgiven of it. And it's what we must confess so that we can be forgiven. And you know what the beautiful thing was? Is when we hear that first part of that, there's probably a lot of us in the room that can't get into the kingdom of heaven if we just stop there in those verses. Because without verse 11, we lose hope. But because of verse 11, we gain it. Don't you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor the adulterers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunkards, or slanderers, gossips, swindlers, and will inherit the kingdom of God. And the beauty of verse 11 comes in, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And you know what? I am proud to say that there are drunkards, there are slanderers, there are adulterers, there are homosexual offenders. There are people in this room today that are good old sinners that have been forgiven and set free and have the ability to walk away from those things in their life and follow Jesus home. Oh, come on. That was good stuff. We all can follow Jesus home. We can all follow Jesus home. Amen. Good. Man, you just made the church on the hill a little jealous with that. Amen. Good job. Because here, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be perfect, but you do need to be walking home towards perfection. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Everybody loves that. But the rest of that verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That means He helps us stop doing those things. And if you believe otherwise, I'm sure God will clear that up with you later. But I'm telling you right now that you cannot continue to live in the sin you're living in. We can't. And there's a lot of us faking it. Aren't we? Come on. Turn to the person next to you and say, I know you're faking. Because it takes one to know one, right? To the whore, the drunkard, the sexually immoral, the gossip, the liar, the cheat, the self-righteous, the greedy, the judgmental, those who are keeping other people in their place and controlling them, to all of us, Jesus says, come follow me and leave your life of sin behind you as you come. Hebrews 12:1, He therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. All throughout Scripture, we see God pushing us to put aside sin and follow Him. Put it away. Quit it. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Let go of it. Just follow Him. But preacher, I've tried. Well, just keep trying. You don't know how hard it is. Yes, I do. But don't quit until Jesus quits on you. And I'm going to give you a clue on something about Jesus. If He was willing to die for you on the cross so you could be free from your sin, He's never, ever going to quit on you. So don't quit on Him. It's okay. Jesus died to forgive my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. That's messing up your moral compass. Maybe you ought to put down your moral compass and pick up His moral compass. Because here's a verse I don't know what to do with if that's what we think. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. But only fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. What? That's in the Bible? Yes, it is, and it gets worse. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and is treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who is insulted? The Spirit of grace, where does that Spirit of grace live? It's a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a God full of love, grace, mercy, and tenderness. And he is also the one that said, wipe out completely the Amalekites from the face of the earth. I only got a couple more sermons left. If I ain't going to be real with you between now and then, so you remember, grab me by the neck and shake you. I can't leave without reminding you that God is God. You're not. But remember, set aside your excuses. Quit reading into things. Quit believing everything outside of God's word and start grabbing into it. Because here's the truth. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? You remember, all of us good old sinners, we don't deserve to inherit it. But that's what some of us were. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. And we're supposed to go out and be sanctified, set apart, usable. How many of you go to the kitchen sink and pull out a dirty, nasty cup with mold growing in it to get a fresh drink of water? None of us do. We go to the cupboard and we get a nice clean one because we don't want to drink that. Why do you think God wants that in your life in the first place? He don't. He died to get that clean. He wants to be used. He wants your life to be perfectly clean. He wants us to be sanctified, consecrated, dedicated, and purified, set apart unto useful service to God, holy and pure. If you are leaning only on grace and it has not transformed your living, you're leaning up against a false gospel. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is only to get you into heaven and it's not transforming your here and now, you're knocked on the wrong door. I don't know who sold you that bill of goods, because he died to get you into heaven, but he died to transform your life today. And it's time to come back to Jesus and be saved, be justified, be sanctified, and be transformed and conformed into his perfect image by following the Holy Spirit and God's holy word as he washes us and makes us new once again. Listen close. His yes is yes and his no is no, and what he calls sin has got to go. That should be something the cheerleaders should cheer at bad football games. His yes is yes, his no is no, and what is sin has got to go. You know, it'd be great. That should be the new cheer in the church. Kathy, put it on the sign out front, okay? Please, put it on the sign. I'm going to see that. It's the only thing I've ever requested to be put on the sign in 9 years, isn't it, Kathy? We're no longer to live in sin. Sin distracts the moral compass and takes us off course from going home. Sin confuses. We need to rid the sin from our lives so we don't pull God's compass off course. I'm not going to read that one. You didn't like the last one. Paul challenges and recognizes that we cannot continue to live in sin, but demands that we rise above it. Jesus has saved you from your sin, from eternal death and separation from God, so that you too can leave sin behind and rise up and follow him home. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God loves you, and Jesus gave his life up for you, and the Holy Spirit resides in you to guide you home. And Paul also says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? You know, that's a great question I have that I ask myself, and I'm asking you today. How can you continue to say you love Jesus and continue to be okay with just living in good old sin like everybody else? Maybe we don't love Jesus as much as he loves us. But it's time to let Jesus be not only our Savior, but to be our Lord. Let the Holy Spirit be our guide. And let God's holy word be our standard for living this life that we're living right now and the life we will live with him. And together, they will be God's moral compass that will take you and I far and will always lead us home. I know I beat the tar out of everybody today. Some of you are wondering where you're at with Jesus. If you've put your faith and trust in him, come back to true north. If you've got sin that you know doesn't match up to God's word as what is right and true and noble, and he calls it sin, get rid of it. Clear it out. Come back. Start again today, because the Holy Spirit wants to walk you home. So let's pray. Lord, that was way too long, way too real and painful. I don't like it any better than anybody else. But the truth is, we're all sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here today that has never put their faith and trust in you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they cry out to you, have mercy on me, a sinner, and Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, and Holy Spirit, guide me through God's word and get me home. Make me new. We'll see you soon. And Lord, for the rest of us that have walked with you for an exceedingly abundant number of laps around the sun, make our relationship fresh and new with you so we are willing to let go of all the false idols we've got, and that we too come back to true north. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Great is the Lord. Great.
Can I say a whole lot? Hey, there's the microphone. I was worried. I'll say this. Look unto Jesus and be saved. Listen to his Holy Spirit and let him guide you through his word. And when the day comes and he separates the sheep from the goats, I expect to see you all in the same line with me. And don't let that scare you. I do hope to see every last one of you in line with me. I'll hold the door. Let's pray. God, my great fear is that there are people in this room and will hear this message and say, that's not a message for me, and go on their way and be lost to hell forever. And no amount of standing in the way and saying, this is the way, walk in it, will change their mind and their heart. So God, I pray that you will do the work that only you can do, that you would call all of us sinners back to repentance, and that we would find your grace and your mercy and love waiting there for us, and we'll be so overwhelmed that the desire of our heart will be to cast sin aside. And if that means running butt naked into heaven, that is a wonderful thing. Because we're going to leave everything of ourselves behind anyways. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. There's nothing good in us. But you say, I will plant myself in your heart, and you can overcome sin, and you can walk without the fear of death, and you will come home to me. And may that be our driving moral compass, your Holy Spirit and your word, until we see you say, come on in, welcome home, well done. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.